The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club. What up, Orange Country? Welcome to Eat 'Em Up. Just out front of the Anaheim Ducks corporate office, and Alex Gilchrist, Senior Director, NHL Communications and Broadcasting, was out there talking with Aaron Teets, of course, President of the Good Guys, the Ducks. Gilly handed me my away game per diem from last night's game. I had failed to snag that from him yesterday. It's just so nice to have cash in hand. Makes TGIF feel even sweeter, so thanks, Alex. It's not making me feel sweet as thinking back to yesterday's game. So, yeah, I'm chapped. I feel bamboozled. I'm teed. And we'll talk about why here in a sec, even though you know why. But first, quick recap. Two games ago, how about that OT thriller against Calgary, 4-3, and his second of the game, Cutter Gauthier. Bah. Heartbreaker Selly. Yes, the Patty Kane signature Selly. That was pretty. And cut it. You know his goal song, Cutter Gauthier. He's been playing so good. He scored a big time bomb on a great entry by Leo Carlson. That's what Leo can do. He's always putting it in the one of his teammates right in their wheelhouse every time. Why are his passes so crispy, Leo? Every single one. And he gets just better and better. Shift in and shift out. Attaboy, Leo. Attaboy, Cutter. Do we talk about the free weight face-off game? You bet your bottom dollar we do. No, we're not going to discuss the final score. Was it a high stick? Was it not a high stick? Well, why don't we have you be the judge? High sticking the puck as defined in Rule 80 of the rules of the National Hockey League. Check this out. May occur when a player intentionally or inadvertently plays the puck with his stick above the height of the shoulders or above the crossbar of a hockey goal. You see every angle. I'll leave it up to you. I'm not even making a judgment. The league made a ruling, and that's all I'm saying. And I'm just saying, okay, I'm putting out the rule. Why don't you be the judge? And let me know. Somehow email me, DM me on Insta, comment on one of my memes. Let me know what your thoughts on that controversial, we'll call it, call. Look, that Kings, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but the Kings power play, why are they ranked so low in the National Hockey League? Because they were ripping that biscuit around. They really were. Kuzmenko just adds another element to that team. He makes them a better playoff team because he can produce, and he looked shifty as all heck out there. And look, he was getting it done. Byfield, he was winning 50-50 puck battles, but... You know, I'm not saying the calls on the Ducks, they were all fair, right? Olin Zellweger, he gets his hand slashed out of his hands, and Kempe wins that battle, and you know what happens after that. Not good, and I'm not happy about it. Avs storylines. Of course, upcoming game, 7 p.m. puck drop. That one threw me off. Did it throw you off? The Sunday tilt, not at 5 or 5:30? That threw me off. But whatever, we'll take a puck drop at any time. We'll be ready to go, foaming at the mouth. Some Avs storylines. Additions, pre-trade deadline, forwards, Martin Natchez, Brock Nelson, Charlie Coyle. And Jimmy Vesey, you know where I'm going with this one. The rich get richer. And defenseman Ryan Lindgren, who I might add, anytime we've gone to Madison Square Garden, he's looked sharp on the back end. He's just solid. And Eric Johnson, that veteran, and everyone loves Eric Johnson, right? He's got the, he owns the horses, that race in the Kentucky Derby, right? I think one of them, name was McKinnon, wasn't it? Glue guy, team guy. And if you name your horse after a teammate, you know that he's a beauty. So he adds that presence in an already very elite locker room. And the boys, all the boys needed was a little glue guy. So what do? They go out and get Eric Johnson, who's the later years of his career. But when a team like that, who's competitive, picks you up, you're doing something right. The Colorado Avalanche announced back on March 31st that they've signed forward Taylor McCarr to a one-year entry-level contract for 2025-26. Great. Another McCarr. Really? And out west? He couldn't sign out east? So he's going to be ready to dominate. We know that. How about this? At University of Maine, he tallied 18 goals, six of them game winners, and recorded 30 points across 38 games. So 18 goals in 38 games in college hockey. On April 3rd, Cale Makar secured place in NHL history by becoming just the ninth defenseman ever to score 30 goals in a season. He's the first blue liner to reach the 30-goal mark since Mike Green netted 31 in only 68 games. Greener was so silky. He was so good, and he was covered in tats, and he had great hair all the time. And he played in the league a long time. And I don't know, is he talked about enough as some of the better defensemen in the last 25 years? I don't think so. I don't think we give Greener enough credit because he was so good. He kind of passed the torch off to Carlson, right? Sounds about right. And Carlson there, how many years has he just been so elite? Cale Makar, he is so powerful. His strides are so efficient, and he can go 0 to 60 in literally 2 seconds. His first three strides out of the pocket. Scary. It's the 30 goals. That's a lot. How about this? Before Green, the last to do it was Kevin Hatcher. You often think Darian. I think Darian, like, before Kevin. But Kevin, are you kidding me? He scored 34 goals for the Caps in 92-93 and other defensemen who have hit the 30-goal milestone. How about this? Hoffers, Paul Coffey. He did it 4 times, no big deal. Ray Bourque, Phil Housley, Doug Wilson, Dennis Potvin, 3 times. Bobby Orr, 5 times. Bobby Orr, 5 times in a short career. Wow. So point blank, Cale Makar is a good hockey player. Colorado Avalanche, forward Nathan MacKinnon. He missed last night's game against the Vancouver Canucks due to a minor injury. The reigning Hart Trophy recipient is currently tied for the NHL's top spot in scoring with 116 points. So they lose him. And look, they have just still so much on paper that you can't say, oh, MacKinnon's out, we're going to take it easy tonight. No, can't do that. How about this? Jared Bednar, he said prior to the game that MacKinnon's injury might keep him out for the rest of the regular season. Sheesh. The Colorado Avalanche, in other news, they announced Gabriel Landeskog has been assigned to the AHL. Of course, that's the Colorado Eagles. I was talking about this on last night's broadcast. How cool is that, huh? You're from Greeley or one of these, you know, towns, smaller towns in Colorado or anywhere in Middle America, and you have a big-time player, an all-star, come down and play a few games. How about that for the kids around town there? How cool is that? That's always, I mean, can you imagine just some of these big time, you know, a Mike Trout going down playing triple A ball on a conditioning stint? How cool is that for these small towns that get that opportunity to see those big time play? That's got to be just a thrill. So anyway, we always want to see anyone in an injury state. We always wish them all the best, and we're doing that with Landeskog as well. Look, last two meetings. First one a little bit closer than the second. First one was OT, 4-3 Avs, 49 shots on goal in that game for the Avs. Scary. 61% win percentage with faceoffs. That's scary. But it was close. It was close. And then another close one. The last one, 4-2 Avs. Look, the Ducks outshot the Avs in that one. It was pretty in the faceoff circle as well for the good guys. And look, Ducks just got to turn the page. It's a new day. It's always a new day in the show, right? Isn't that what they say? It's always a new day in the show. And that new day comes Sunday. Can't wait. If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide. Here to tell us if this Minnesota Wild team is for real, we have Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com, also has her own podcast, Bar Down Butte Pod, and owner of New Voice Studios. Jesse, thanks for joining Eat Him Up. How are we today?
We're good. How are you doing? It's Friday, right? We're loving. We're living life. It's a good day.
TGIF, right? And we got the Long Beach Grand Prix, actually, right down the road from us. And me being a Long Beach local, I can't wait. Just the burning rubber in my nostrils and all that blood flow to the brain. I just love it. I love race weekend, and I can't wait. So, any plugs? I mean, did I miss anything with all your accolades?
Just a really awesome person, I would like to add. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, no, let's hear it. Come on, pump your own tires. No, that's fine.
Mother, right? We got to add in mom of three wild and crazy kids who actually resent hockey because of how much it takes me away from the home right now. But they think I just go and hang out with hockey players all day, which isn't completely inaccurate when I ask them what I do. So I'll take it. I always have to explain it to their teachers, though, when they're like, do you play hockey? What's the deal? What do you do? And I'm like, I write about it a little bit. So
you're a student of the game, right? You can't help yourself.
No, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Let's turn our sights to this Minnesota Wild team. What the hell, Jesse, is going on with the Wild here? Team stats, just the power play, shooting percentage, shots on goal per game, goals per game, just the surface level team stats have been on the decline. I mean, they first quarter of the season, best numbers team wise, top five in the league. What the heck is going on with the Wild since then?
It's a tale of two seasons, frankly. When you look at the Minnesota Wild, you have the first half tale where it was very successful for Minnesota, surprising everybody, including I think a lot of us local writers here, because you're returning much of the same team you had from last year. You're returning those guys that missed the playoffs, and for them to skyrocket up into that top three, top five conversation in the National Hockey League, it was incredible. You had Kirill Kaprizov absolutely going off, a heart conversation around him. You had Philip Gustavsson coming in hot. Things were looking good, and then the second half comes around. Kirill Kaprizov finds himself hurt, had not played a game since January 26th. He goes and has surgery on a lower body injury that had been plaguing him. Joel Eriksson Ek gets hurt. He goes to Four Nations, comes back unable to play. Jonas Brodin's hurt. Jared Spurgeon. The list goes on, but namely those two, Kirill Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson Ek, without them, you see those numbers that you had mentioned, Emerson. Decline, right? Like you see the lack of offense generated. You see the lack on the power play. The penalty kill has been bad all year, but it got even a little bit worse without some of those bodies. So really, the second half of the season, they're very lucky and fortunate that they picked up all those points, had a really good start to the year because it's kept them in that playoff conversation. Now, Kirill Kaprizov, Jules Eriksson returning. We'll see what happens in the final couple game stretch here. Minnesota currently in a playoff position, but it's getting pretty tight. Again, Calgary Flames hot on their tail, and St. Louis Blues as well in that wild card position.
9-10-3 since returning from Four Nations break. And look, that's a great point you made as far as giving them some padding right out of the gate, because if not, they would be chasing, I think, from the outside looking in. How about John Hines? I had him at the National Development Program. How has he rallied the troops this season as in comparison to last, which was shaky at times?
Yeah, I mean, last year when he came in to replace Dean Essen, I think the biggest thing I loved about Hines is that he said, "I'm not here to pull you guys out of this hole. I'm here to get into that hole with you." And I think that instantly garnered him that respect and that trust from the team. And I think this year coming in, it's nice because he has that familiarity. He's able to be with this team from the get-go at camp and kind of knows what he's working with, knows what works. The thing I love about John Hines, and I'm sure you can attest to this, his attention to detail and his ability to really kind of take the game in segments and be able to wash it away and take it game by game, which Minnesota has had to do. They've had some unlucky stretches. They've had some really bad losses as well. But for the most part, with an exception a couple times this year, they've been able to say, you know what, that was uncharacteristic. That's a one-off. We're going to bounce right back and get right in there. And I think the team in general has really responded well to that from John Hines, those attention to details, those very smaller, finer points of the game, in addition to the larger aspects and really playing a north-south hockey game versus East West has really been successful for Minnesota under Hines.
Yeah, the quick transition team, a lot of high roles and fast pace, fast playmaking in the offensive zone. They're just constantly moving, constantly switching, and making it difficult for any team they play against. What's some of the keys to the Wild having a deep playoff run?
I think it starts in net. You could say that about every team, right? You get a hot goalie, everything can look a lot better, especially if you're eyeing the Winnipeg Jets as a potential opponent. If you have a guy that is able to keep the puck out, and Philip Gustafson has been that guy for the most part. Again, a huge rebound year after last year. He really struggled, was a big reason that Minnesota kind of did as poorly as they did last season. This year, out the gates, Philip Gustafson has been absolutely lights out, tremendous. Unfortunate, because it's put Marc-Andre Fleury very much in that backup role in his final hurrah. But we all know Flower, we all know he responds well to it. He's a great team guy, but Philip Gustafson is the goalie. So it's going to be that. And then it's going to be the offense getting rolling. I'd mentioned Jules Eriksson at Kirill Kaprizov being out. They are back now, but while they were gone, there was no offense. They weren't scoring. They were not going to go down and generate anything. They were not taking the shots that they needed. You need Kirill to not only do that, but you need Matt Boldy, who has really kind of stepped up a little bit this year. You need Marco Rossi. You need Matt Zuccarello. You need that secondary scoring in addition to getting your superstars back in Kirill and Jules Eriksson. So it sounds easy, right, Emerson? It sounds very simple. You need to score and you need to keep the puck out of your own net. But that is going to be a tough situation depending on the opponent for Minnesota, which again looks like Winnipeg or Vegas should it come down to it.
Scoring goals at the game's highest level, huh? Yeah, super easy.
Just shoot the puck.
There you go. The Wild have outscored Ducks 10-3 in both contests at Honda Center this season. How do you see this upcoming game next week, Tuesday in Mini, playing out?
I think it depends on where the Wild are at position wise, right? I think if they've secured their spot in the playoffs, you look at that game against Anaheim and say, okay, maybe we could rest some of our guys that need it. A guy like Jonas Brodin, Jared Spurgeon, even Ekki, some of those players that need to gear up and be ready and be at their best come playoff time. I think they would possibly utilize that final regular season game against Anaheim as that opportunity. Now, if they're still in the hunt, then all bets are off. Then it's full speed. They're going, throwing everything at you against the Ducks. I'm excited, though. It's the final home game. It's one last hurrah. I have a little special place in my heart for Anaheim Ducks. I'm a big John Gibson fan. So it could be interesting, but I think Minnesota would like to get the win, but also be safe if they're in the playoff hunt or if they're in the playoffs officially.
Jesse Pierce, where can we find you on social media? What's your handle?
I dabble on X at Jesse, J-E-S-S-I underscore Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E. Instagram is just a lot of photos of myself. So don't follow there. That's Jesse P224. And then I'm on TikTok, but mostly to watch other people. So that's Jesse underscore Pierce as well. And all my work can be at NHL.com. Bardown Beauties can be found on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Jesse P, thanks for joining Eat 'Em Up, and we'll catch you there next week in many.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Well, we have Winnipeg Jets color radio analyst Mitchell Clinton with some good insight on what to expect from the Jets in what is both teams' last regular season game Wednesday next week in Winnipeg. Let's take a listen.
I think when it comes to the two meetings with Anaheim, I mean, one, an overtime win for the Ducks in Winnipeg, and then another, it's just some late game heroics at Honda Center. I think Anaheim's, you know, stepped up to the occasion when they've played Winnipeg, and that's, you know, a credit to them, obviously, you know, kind of going through a little bit of a retool, changing how they look, but they've found a way to keep the game against Winnipeg close. And whenever you get into those one shot type of games, anything can happen. And, you know, I think back to the first meeting where Dallas was able to erase a Winnipeg lead in the third period, something that really hasn't happened that often to Winnipeg this year. And of course, the name that stands out when it comes to Anaheim against Winnipeg has been this season anyways, has been Troy Terry. He just seems to have Winnipeg's number. So I'm looking forward to this final meeting of the season. Obviously, it'll be game number 82, and they're, you know, likely not going to be a whole lot to play for in terms of standings at that point. We'll see how things kind of go. But you have guys playing for contracts. You got guys playing for, you know, opportunities next season. There's a whole lot of things that can happen. And for Winnipeg, you want to make sure your game doesn't take, you know, any sort of dip. And there haven't been a lot of teams this year that have kept Winnipeg away from a win against them. Los Angeles is pretty much the only other team that's been able to occur with. And, you know, Anaheim, of course, would love to become the next team that does that. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. Game 82 of the year is always an exciting one, obviously, with the postseason coming up. But it should be a good matchup between two teams. I mean, the first thing that obviously comes about when you think about Kyle Connor is the offensive instincts and his shot. You know, second career 40-goal season, picked up a couple of big goals for the Winnipeg Jets in the third period against Dallas on Thursday. So you obviously think of the offensive side of things, the one-timer, the quick release on the wrist shot, the snapshot, whatever it may be. But, you know, it's really stood out to me about Kyle Connor, and part of the reason I think he's been able to sustain his stellar play throughout the year is how well he's played away from the puck and how well he's played defensively. Winnipeg puts a lot of responsibility on their forwards on a back track through the middle of the ice so that their defense can kind of maintain that gap, jump at the blue line, try to keep plays alive because they know they're going to have that cover. And Kyle Connor's been a big part of that. And really a sentiment to how good he's been in that regard is he's been put on the penalty kill for the Winnipeg Jets in a number of situations. He has those offensive instincts, like I mentioned, but he uses them in a way to kind of go against the opposition's power play and break plays up. He's got a great stick defensively as well. He's, you know, obviously broken up a number of plays. And then once you break up an opposition rush or whatever that may be, you've got the offensive ability in Kyle Connor or Mark Scheifele, whoever he's playing with, to be able to go back the other way and make teams pay. And that's exactly what they did against Dallas. You know, looking back at things ever since the calendar turned over to 2025, I think there's a couple of things that stand out when it comes to storylines for the Winnipeg Jets. The first would be the 11-game win streak that happened near the end of January and through four nations, that they found so many different ways to win games, whether it was offense, whether it was defense, special teams. You know, they found ways to win games and kind of continue that strong start that they had at the beginning of the season. You know, in the last little bit, we've had some injuries showing up to Gabriel Vilardi, Neil Pionk, and Nikolai Ehlers. The good news on that side of things is that both Pionk and Ehlers returned against the Dallas Stars in what was a huge Central Division win for the Winnipeg Jets on Thursday. So, you know, there's been some injuries here and there. Dylan Samberg was a big one earlier in the year as well. He's someone that's really kind of stepped into that top four role on the blue line and has played a massive role. Talked about the win over Dallas. Winnipeg's had this ability kind of throughout all season to step up in those big moments. You think of, you know, St. Louis coming into Winnipeg on a 12-game win streak. Winnipeg ended that. Dallas on Thursday. Winnipeg needed a big one to kind of extend their lead in the Central Division. They got that done. They beat Washington twice in overtime this year in two really, really great games. And, you know, it's just been a great season for Winnipeg when it comes to coming up big and in the moments that, you know, they really need to have it. And finally, obviously, you get through the trade deadline, picking up the likes of Luke Shen and Brandon Tanev. Tanev played in Winnipeg at the start of his professional career coming out of Providence College, was part of the team that went to that Western Conference final. He's brought a lot of energy in that regard to whether it's the third or the fourth line or the penalty kill. He's been a big part of that. And Luke Shen, just a stabilizing physical force on that blue line, also on the penalty kill. Just a lot of veteran presence. He's, you know, he's been to the Stanley Cup final. He's won them. You know, it's a big, big piece of leadership in the Winnipeg Jets room.
Mitch Clinton spitting out absolute heat. Well, the good guys will be coming your way after the tilt and mini, which will not be easy. Both of them, they're just not easy games. We know what those two teams can do. Mitch, we'll see you up north. Looking forward to it. And hopefully the weather's nice there in Winnipeg. I got a hunch that Winnipeg, the springtime, very nice. Very nice. I got a hunch because you know what? The lakes there, some of the best fishing in the world. And the lake, fishing, springtime, in the summer. Sounds nice. Not going to lie. So hopefully the weather suits me well. Doesn't matter what the weather is. The good guys are going to be ready to go. Mitch, like a hockey scientist right there. Let's get in some playoff talk. If the playoffs, the plops, were to start today, and of course, our very own Ducks, hey, we're competitive. We were in a lot of these games last quarter. We were in the discussion. Big gains. Big gains. How about we start out west? Because that's just where the Ducks are, in SoCal, Orange Country, out west. Right now, Winnipeg's pegged to play St. Louis. Okay? If that were the case and that were the first round, holy, how about this? I'd take St. Louis over Winnipeg. That's not going to make too many people happy hearing that when we go to Winnipeg. I know they're not going to be happy about my prediction if that was the case. But St. Louis coming off a heater, 10-plus games, and wow, that was a big run. That doesn't come around too often, those type of streaks. Let's get real. Dallas, Colorado, how about that series? Goes without saying. Vegas against Minnie. I would take Aiden Hill in Vegas if that were the case. And once again, I'm already ruffling feathers between Minnesota Wild and Winnipeg. And we're about to face those two teams. It just is what it is. I call it how I see it. LA versus Edmonton. Wow. I tell you what, Darcy Kuemper looked very good last night. He was aggressive, and he's so large. And if he plays that way in playoffs, it's going to give Edmonton trouble. Here's the thing, the greatness of McDavid and Lyon. They're just too good. They're just too good, and they take over, and they put their team on their back. I just switched it up last second there because I'm so cheesed about last night's game. Edmonton over LA if it were to start today, but boy, would it might be a seven-game banger of a series. Let's go out east. Toronto versus Ottawa. You kidding me? goes without saying. What a banger that is. Holy. Not too far from one another. How much skill. You got Brady Tkachuk doing work in his office behind the net. And you got Matthew Nyes, now 30-goal guy. How about that? And then you got Willie Styles doing what he does, shift in and shift out. And you got, that number 34. You know who I'm talking about. Tampa Bay Lightning, Florida Panthers. How about that as a series? Goes without saying. The Florida Clash for bragging rights. That's got to sting whoever loses that one. And that'll sting right till next training camp. That's an open wound right there, whoever loses that one. And that goes until opening training camp. How about they have a Kraft Hockeyville? And I know I think it's only in Canada. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Maybe they've played some games in the Northeast there, but typically small town Canada there. What if they had a Kraft Hockeyville in Florida with the palm trees right on the beach? Huh? Better yet, get that down here in SoCal. Like the Pro Beach Roller Days, where you had the ramps behind the net, and on the set breakouts, they would rip from behind the net, getting speed on a drop-in, as if they're riding on a skateboard on a quarter pipe. And they just lunge forward, get speed, and away they go. That starts their set breakout. How about those good old days, huh? Yeah. Kraft Hockeyville. Corona Del Mar. Right on the beach. How about that? Would love that. Washington Caps, Montreal Canadiens, the experience versus the unexperienced, we'll call it, for the most part. Yeah, you would go Caps. Devils, Hurricanes. Why am I even predicting? This is a high risk, I guess, high reward that I'm just going off a limb and just predicting these series, but I'm going to try to call it how I see it. I take Carolina, just goalie on out, even though Markstrom is a very good goalie. Well, today's Eat 'em Up Beer League tip for all you beer leaguers out there trying to find ways to improve your game. How about you toss in a delay on the ozone entry? Your next game. Why get squeezed off at the ozone blue line? Even if you have three square feet of room to work with, come on, pull up. You're getting pressured. Use that stick length from whoever's pressuring you as a gauge. So you have a stick length or more. You stop up facing the play. You got to read that. If you have less than a stick length, you curl up facing the wall. Why? You don't expose the puck. You can expose it facing the play when that pressure is a little bit further away. But if you're getting absolutely hounded and they're right there, right on your hip, turn up. Turn up towards the boards. Wait for that second wave. Wait for F3 coming in weak side and sling it over there with a nice 50-foot ripper right on their tape. And if they don't score, you can come back when you go back to the bench and say, Jimmy or Sarah, I'm not passing you again. I'm just going to take this biscuit and do it myself. Everyone asks me, hey, set this player up 3-4 times, backdoor tapping. That's when you just got to let them know. Hey, I gave you 3-4 looks back the wide open nets, and you didn't finish. I got to do it myself. Sorry, not sorry. That's my beer league tip for this epi. Delay and delay again and again and again, and keep that puck on your twig. Don't allow an easy pass off. Why chase the game? Keep control of that biscuit all game long. You'll thank me later. Final thought, stick taps for Alex Ovechkin, the great eight, not only tied Wayne Gretzky's goal record of 894, he passed it with goal 895 against the Isle on April 6th. Congrats, Ovi, and thanks for all you've done for the great game of hockey. Hey, before we wrap things up, Duckstream, I got it on repeat all day long. I got a serious addiction to all things Duckstream. Light the lamp. Come on, with AD. And then spinning it with DJ JoJo. Those are on repeat. And then the beaker that follows in Pat We Trust. And you know what? After I listen about three Eppies back to back to back to back, I throw on a little Morgan Page to turn up even more. If you're wondering what's on Emmer's playlist, it's been Morgan Page. It will get you buzzing, especially after a couple Eppies of Duckstream shows, your favorite, have them on repeat. And then, yeah, toss on a little Morgan Page. And yeah, it just, it makes you feel good. It gets the blood flowing to the brain. We'll catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.